I'm ready. Kufya Dalet, Amad Amad, Iboyelu, line 2. Iboyelu. Now she said, Ru Bibalfo. Now, till now, we've already discussed from, based on the bribe that we had yesterday, that there is a Sigur Bibalfo, which means we go easy on him when he goes bankrupt. And we also saw that this was dependent on the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakam and the Mishnah, as to whether we would sell a maskin that's required by the man after 30 days. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, if we sell it, obviously he holds that even though the guy is bankrupt, we don't leave him in his bed, if that's what I have taken for the maskin, which means a misadrim. There's the Tanakam who says that to Nazir constantly. They hold, apparently, that we are misadrim. But the Gemara's question over here is, Alok Lamaik, are we or are we not misader for Balkov? Which means, do we allow chapter 11 type of proceedings? Or do we give the guy a chance to work his life out and so on? Or do we just strip him of his possession? Migama micha micha miarachin olo, do we learn out exereshava of the word imachu miarachin, which means if a man is too poor to pay back your erech, and we say that the same word that appears by kiyamuch achicha, which is the din of the lending for people money, that implies the same halakha of makut, of poor, of poverty, would apply in both cases. Toshma, let us see if we can bring a raya. The Shalak Rabin Be'agarte, Rabin sent a letter about this issue, and as a tshuva, and he sent it as follows. And his letter said like this. This is a question that I asked all of my rabbeim, and they had nothing definitive to say about it. Baram, however, I do have an indication about what the halakha is, because another question was raised in the Beit HaMedrash, which was a similar question, and I think that we'll be able to see from here, as Rabin implies in his letter, what the din would be with Gavi Balkov. Here the question has to do with somebody who makes a neder that he's going to give a certain amount of money to Hegdash. Now that should not be confused with Erechin. Remember that Erechin is sort of a magic kind of thing in which the Torah defines a person's value based on his age and on his sex. Right? That's only to do with his true value, his market value. And over there, and only there, is the place that we know that the Torah introduces the concept of imochu, which means that there's a special din of bankruptcy. And I must indicate to you, by the way, two separate components of the bankruptcy question. One component is whether we strip him of his possessions, but the other component is whether after having been stripped of his possessions or not stripped of his possessions, whatever what the case would be, by Erechin, we do not strip him of his possessions, what he pays, is this sufficient to cover his debt? And that's it. We cancel the debt. You see, it's a different issue. Cancellation of the debt and how vicious we are in collecting what it is we're collecting are two different questions. Our question of being misadar l'bal chov does not mean that we're going to cancel your debt because at the time that you went bankrupt, that's all you had. If you make money again 10 years from now, you'll pay the debt back then. The only question is, how tough are we going to go on you in terms of taking away the things you need to live, that's all. And the guy says, look, I mean, I lent you money, so I probably don't have money to pay me back. I mean, you know, go and go to the Salvation Army. Don't expect me to provide for you just because you can't pay me back the loan. We say yes. So what we're asking over here in terms of Sidur is not whether we will cancel a debt for him, but rather whether we will allow him, until he gets money, to have the things that he needs to survive himself. So now, here the question is, what if somebody commits to Hegdash to give money, not in the context of Erechin, just a neder, he says, I am going to donate $100,000 to Hegdash. Then the guy loses his money. Now they're coming out to collect. And the question was raised as to whether we will do a sidur for a neder to the Bala, to the Berekabayit, or whether we strip him of everything he owns. Says Rav Yaakov, Mishmei de Bar Pada, Rav Yirmiya Kotiyosa, is saying, well, it's a Kal V'chomer. If a Baal Chol, my Baal Chol, Shemazadrim, Ein Misadrim, Ha, so we see everybody's taking for granted over here, and this is what he's writing in the letter. Everybody's taking for granted over here, says Robin, that Ein Misadrim. But anyway, this is what it says. if a Baal Kov, we go very harshly with him. Nonetheless, when we have a mashkin that we took from him, we're very careful to give it back to him. And so we have to give it back to him when he needs it. So Hekdesh, which as we'll see later, where we don't even have to be models of the mashkin, kosher, that we are not going to go easy on him when we collect the debt, because we're less tolerant of the person's needs when it comes to Hekdesh, so then certainly we're not going to give him a sidur if we don't give him a sidur for a Baal Kov.
Hekdesh
is the mashkin. Hekdesh is the mashkin. He's before came into the mashkin.
Put the mashkin at the time he raised the flood.
No, that's the time. He said, I'm going to pay up. I said, okay, fine, we're giving you 30 days to pay up. They didn't pay up at the end of 30 days. They went and took a mashkin. They said, okay, we're going to keep this mashkin for another 30 days. If not, you're finished. He said, there's no dinner, mashkin here and there. Well, the Elkanan says, no, that's not true. Because the Torah specifically compares Nedarim to Hekdesh Erechim, because it says the Tzairish, Neder, the Erechecha. And why is the Torah that Yafni Neder Be'erechecha Nefashot? Why don't you just say, Ish Ki'arik Nefashot? They say, Ish Ki'afni Neder Be'erechecha Nefashot comes to compare with a Hekdesh, the din of Nedarim, to the din of Erechim. And therefore, ma erachim misadrin, just like it says, beferush, in the context of erachim yimbachu, af hegdesh misadrin. There we learn that any nidor that are made to hegdesh misadrin. Now, how about according to those, according to Bar Pod and according to Ilfo, Arjun, and Rabbi Yochanan, what do they do with that pasuk? The Nidah. They say, no, no, no. That halacha only comes to tell me the thing, the object of a nidor. That we learn out the object from the neder from the object of Erech. Now, halacha is that Erech is, as I say, from our point of view, it's simply an assigned arbitrary value based on a person's age and sex. It has nothing to do with his ability to work, his market on the, his value on the free market, and so on, right? And therefore, the Torah also, we need to recognize, never gave a valuation for, let's say, Kalim, using Erech of a Kalim. It doesn't mean anything. If you say, an erech of my hand, it doesn't mean anything. If you were saying, I'm going to give the value of my hand, then you would actually pay the value of your hand. How would we define the value of your hand? Well, we could define it what you would be worth on the market with the hand or without the hand, which would essentially define the value of your hand. So, but if you say, the erech of my hand, it's meaningless, right? So how about if you say, the erech of my liver? The erech of my liver, you'd have to pay your full erech. Why? Can't live without a liver. And the Torah says, erech ha nifashot means an erech of that which the nefesh requires. So anything which the nefesh requires is the equivalent of giving the erech of your entire value. Therefore, we learn out from this hekesh, the same thing would be true with a neder. If somebody makes a neder and says, I will give the value of my liver, he has to pay the value of his entire body. You'll say that's plushit, because the difference of the value of a person with a liver, without a liver, is the equivalent of the difference in his entire value. The difference would be whether we would view it as a shukafut. Because if you're only giving a value of your liver, it means we view the rest of your body as being owned by somebody else. Right? So we're going to estimate, therefore, your shukafut in the individual, but not the entire value of his body. So here it comes to tell me that a neder works the same way that Eric can work. You donate your liver, you pay the whole value. Fine.
Does that mean he's paying a bill for his
necklace
or his
neshama?
He doesn't have something in
the neshama
and he doesn't
mean nothing. That's correct. If you try to give the Eric of your computer or something, or your robot, it doesn't. So that's all that it's coming to tell me. Nidon bitvodo. And that's called nidon bitvodo. Nidon bitvodo is we judge its COVID. We judge its importance. Right? So in other words, if this is important to life, it's liver, it's covet. Exactly. What's the word in the... It's gravity, you would say? Gravity? It's weight. It's weightiness. Right? It's covet. So let's see that inside now. So just like Erechim is Nidon Bechelodo, Ap Hegdesh, Medes Hegdesh is also Nidon Bechelodo. So now that these things are given from a pasuk, why don't we reverse the tables on you and learn how to kal v'chomer from Erechim that we should be misadar for a Baal Kov? Why don't we say like this? Yisadru b'balkol, kavakol m'erachim. If by erachim, where if hekdesh takes a mashkin to assure your payment of the erach, ain't mashkin, as we'll see from a pasuk, we don't have to return that mashkin in the nighttime when you need your pajamas, in the daytime when you need your plow. Nonetheless, Torah said you do have to be misadar. And if the guy can't afford to pay it up, then we will arrange something for him. So Baal Chol, Shema Zerim, the Torah insists we have to treat the Baal Chol gently to return a mashkin to him. So certainly, Eino Din, Shema Zerim, Misadrim, so for sure I should have to deal with him gently when I'm coming to collect, correct? So why did everybody then take it for granted that a Baal Chol, we would not be Misadrim, at least Bar Chol and Ilfa, right? Same. Says the Gemara, well, the reason that we don't make that kavachomer is because of a pasuk. Hamar kra imoch hu miarkecha. Hu, the lo ba'alchol. The only time that the Torah is telling us a din of ma, which is a din of bankruptcy proceeding, is only when it comes to erekim, not when it comes to a ba'alchol. Huh? So wait a minute, so you're telling me you have a right from a prophet. So what then do the others disagree? And they said that you are Messiah from Balkos. What do they do with that prophet? The Edak, the who is the existential who, which we often find, Asham who, right? Like we had in this week's parasha. So the idea over here is who that he has to be existentially defined as poor, meaning he has to be the makuto mitzvilato v'atofo. There cannot be any period during the time in which he made this matter of erechim in which he would be able to afford it, even though now he can't afford it. So once he's not poor from beginning to end, he's not defined as poor, therefore the din of the bankruptcy don't apply to him. Well, now that that's given, why don't we turn around now and learn the other way? So then, let us force Hegdish to go gently with a mashkin based on a kavachomer. Right? We should say, look, if a Baal Chov she'ein misadri, where I do not have to go gently on his collection procedure when he can't afford it, nonetheless, machzirin, I do have to proceed with gentleness when it comes to returning a mashkin that he needs in the nighttime or in the daytime. So Kol Shekein Hegdish with the Torah was mocked that I have to go gently on him when we collect in the Sadrim. Eino Din Shemazrim, wouldn't for sure Hegdish have to replace a mashkin that was required by the man at night or day, as the case may be? Yes, you're right, except for the fact the Torah specifically says not like that. Amar Krav V'Shachav V'Sanamato U'Verachecha. Why do you think the Torah says, return it to him and then let him sleep in his pajamas and he will bless you? What do you care if he blesses you? He doesn't bless you. Anyone? That's not the point. The Torah says you have to give him back his pajamas. Hmm? So obviously it's coming to teach me something. That what? Dafka, a human being who requires a bracha. But yotze hekdesh, enotzerim bracha. God doesn't need a bracha and therefore there's no din of returning his pajamas. Like the Gemara of the law, what do you mean God doesn't need a bracha? The parish of Pesach. We are chalta v'savata v'rasta. So if God is telling you to give him a bracha, how could you possibly say that uveirachcha is not including Hegdesh? It's absurd. From here we see a raya to those who understand that the meaning of barukata is not, as it's translated in the Siddurim, geloyet is to God, right? Or in English, blessed art thou, which means, God, you are blessed. That's not the meaning. It means, I give you a blessing, God. Baruch atah, right? Because otherwise, this whole thing doesn't make any sense.
The son doesn't need our blessing.
No, because, what do you mean?
Who would say, understand the word blessing? The son doesn't need
our blessing. No, he does. That's what it's saying over here. It's saying, therefore, you see that those who try to avoid that implication by saying blessed art thou, that's a description rather than a granting, right? But that is wrong. In this Gemara you see that the meaning of is that you give the bracha, not that you state that you are blessed. Right?
The discussion of the
bracha is impossible. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The question of the bracha that you mentioned,
Right, that's wrong.
Not any further.
Right. It means that he would be the source of blood. Blessed art thou means that he's the Netzer Dechinos, explained.
Right.
From this Gemara, you see that it means we are giving you a blessing.
Right.
Okay. Hmm? What it says over here, Shaina Torah Bracha, and I'm saying that it means a bracha. It's not going to help. El Omar Kra, the reason that we say that Hegdish does not have to give back a mashkin, you're right, cannot be from the Ubeira Kra. It has to be from Lokat Yetzidaka. Why does the Torah say Lokat Yetzidaka? Daka Misha Tarif Tzidaka. That's a Hegdish and Tarif Tzidaka. So Hegdish doesn't require your charity. Now, actually, Rabbi Bar, so anyway, meanwhile, we're left with the question over here. We have over here, we have the Trimming of Wheel on one hand, we have the Raifa on one hand, that Ain Mitzavim, the Mitzavim of Alkov. We still don't have a clear Raya what the din is. Now, Rabbi Bar, who met Elio Hanavi, who was standing in a Goyesha cemetery. Amalei, so before he asked him, what are you doing in a cemetery? You'll ask him. Amalei, Mahu she is Sadru Babalko. You know, I always wanted to know, are we or are we not, chapter 11 to Balko? So Eliyahu HaNavi told him, what do you mean, Salakam Lashem Sinai? We learn out of there, Shav of Micha Micha from Erechim. Gabi Erechim is the Imachu Me'erkecha. Gabi Balkov, it's a Zichi Amuch Achicha. That's your answer, friend. Well, now that I got you, can I ask you something else? Why does it say in the Mishnah in Truma that if you're naked, you're not supposed to take off Truma? Where does that come from? Ninayin la'arom shelo yitron. So he answered, B'siv lo yirah b'fer v'atavar. You have to make a bracha, take off Truma. Because you're not allowed to make a bracha when you're naked. That's your answer to that one. Why did they ask you a coin? Well, I love going to now. My time of going now to Beta Korod. What the heck are you doing in this cemetery? I'm like, huh? No, Master Martha, I actually never got around to learning Seder Tyrants. You got a problem. You don't know the Brisa in Tyrants. The time you were Pima by a Fayyam or Kibrayan, Shalodeko Havim and Matamim, that non-Jewish Kvarim are not Matamation. And my Vatain Sonit Son Mar Iti Adamatim. Because so God says, you are human, which implies, Atem Kriyim Adam, Mein Avdei Kochavim Kriyim Adam, and the parsha of Truma is Adam Yamut Ba'olam. So if Goyim are not called Adam, so then there's no Dina Truma, there's no Adam Yamut Ba'olam. So what's your problem? Omar Lay, Rabbi Bar Chaim said to him, well, what are you making fun of me for? Barba, I can barely make it through four Siddharim to get the prices clearly. Those are the four Siddharim that I need. Nogea Wakala Maisa. Meshita Matina, I'm supposed to know now. No, Paris is growing. So the elements of Kutchim, Kutchim says Ilu Hikri Korbus. Everybody wants Kutchim. Because it's in the Shambhu Parim Svateno. But growing outside of Eretzro wasn't Nogea.
But he's asking a question.
That's very interesting. But well, I said, he's not saying I don't learn it. He's just saying I don't. I'm not a bucky. That's why I'm asking you these things. So Peshitta Matthew, expect me to bucky and be a bucky and everything. I'm always on my what kind of excuse? What kind of nonsense is that? Why aren't you a bucky and speak to God? I'm always, I got news for you. The son of us have to work for a living. So Peshitta Matthew, I'm a poor man. I spend my whole day working. Oh, he says, a poor man, I got a solution for that. Babri, so he picks him up, by the Gan Eden, takes him to the Gan Eden, and he says, Pshot Limcha, or take your coat, spread it out. See, Shkomiani Tafi, take some of these dropped leaves over here, fill it up, you'll see it'll be worth a million. It's also consumer. Shlokvase fills up his coat. Shlokal, he's about to leave, Gabi Nafak on his way out. He hears voices saying, man, oh man. My God, come on, the Rabbi Barabu never saw anybody eat up his Olam Haba like this character, Rabbi Barabu. He says, oh my God, not that Shadana, he takes his coat, shakes out the coat, gets rid of everything in it, forget about it, I'm getting out of here. Abilahaki, nonetheless, Ashka Laguime, he brings his coat back into the world, and it turns out that Tzaka Gwima Reifer, his coat, had absorbed the smell of Gan Eden, he was able to sell the coat to a perfumery for trace of Alfe Dinres. He became a millionaire. 12,000 dinars, a lot of money. But he didn't want to be nana from it personally, right? So what's he going to do? He doesn't want to give it to children either. I mean, there's heirs. Figure, I'll give it to my son-in-law. They don't want to have any pleasure from it, right? So he gave it all away. He gave it to his chatanim. Anyway, continuing here. Tanrava. This bride makes a very strange deal. Says the pasuk, if the man is poor, do not sleep in his pajamas. But if he's rich, sleep. How can he sleep in the other guy's pajamas? There was only a mashkin, right? You don't have a right to use the mashkin, you only have a right to hold the mashkin. So then the whole pasuk doesn't make sense. And that exactly is what the bride is going to point out. The micro amount, what does it mean? I'm referring to talking to him. It means like this. The in ish anihu, lo tishkav the avotah tzvacha. That's what the Torah means. Don't go to sleep while his pajamas are in your house. Before you go to sleep, go give him back his pajamas. Don't wait for him to come knocking at the door. Ha'ashir, mashenkin, if the person is rich, meaning he has another pair of pajamas, Shuki, you can go to sleep and not worry about his pajamas. Well, there's not the chat that the Sabbath he has to return something that a man might need if he has alternatives. Come here, Rabbi. Another strange bride, it's full of contradictions. Somebody who lends his friend money cannot take a mashkin. It's okay, that's true. You can't take a mashkin on your own. You can't say, go into the guy's house for it to give you something. They know chayav lachzilo. He doesn't have to give him back. If he has a mashkin, he doesn't have to give it back to him when he needs it. But you do have to give it. The over of a shematavalo. And if you don't give it back, you're going to be over on all of these things. All the various pushes. I mean, this obviously is insanely self-contradictory. My Dharma, what are you saying? I'm not sure you're talking about that. The meaning of the bride is this. You don't have a right to go take a mashkin from him unless you go to court, of course. The in mishkano, if you do take a mashkin from him, chayav lachzirlo, it would have, even though you took it illegally, it would have all of the dinim of the chiyav of needing to give it back to him when he needs it, go over b'chol hashemot halalo, and you would be over on all, everything. Now, the way that I would suggest to understand, therefore, the word enol mavzilo, that it's simply saying that it's a change in girsa, is that enol mavzilo means you don't have to give it back to him. That's what it means. But over b'chol hashemot halalo, you're still higher if you don't return it when you need it. For example, you're not allowed to go without a court order. If you went without a court order, he can't take it back from you. You're already over the issue, but you have a right to have a master. You were told this, fine. But don't think because you were told, and therefore you don't have to return it. But don't think that because you're told they said, none of the normal rules of giving it back to him in the night, if he needs it at night, if he needs it the day of one, if they don't apply. Don't think that. Nonetheless, you'd be over on all of these things. But that's how Rav Sheshet wanted to explain. Rav Amar, Rav says, well, I think that's stretching it, because the concept of Lazilo means to give it back to him in terms of the dinner, not to give it back. I think it means like this, it's missing a piece, just like this. Hold on. Hamavet Kaberot in Rosh Hashanah, of course, in Mishkano, I mean, that doesn't have sense. Now, the rest of the Bryce is meant to be understood as this. This halacha of returning a mashkin when it's needed is only when the mashkin was taken, not at the time that the loan is made. If someone makes a loan on a mashkin, a guy comes into a pawn shop, gives his watch in for a loan, and then comes back and says, oh, by the way, during the day I need my watch. There's nobody giving him back his watch. He took the loan based on his mashkin. That's a different issue completely. There in Okayav Lazilo, that's what the bride was saying. That not every mashkin has a zilo. And Mark can take it as a time alone. There's no din of Arachayev Lamgila. Then, when it says, Va'over, Bakalashimot Alalu, it's going back to the first case, Arisha, which was a Machshon was taken, Shalom B'Shat Alva, which you can only do with a court order.
It's like a
sign-off. Yeah, but it's a Tony Rib, she's a Bikamed Rabban. Now, here's a third brisa, which is weird. It's like a list of weird brises. The brisa points out that we have two psukim, opposite psukim. One says, Ad bo ha-shemesh tishiven olo. So, return the maskin to him until sunset, which undoubtedly means something that he needs during the day, until sunset, right? The other pasuk says, Hashem tashiv lo et ha-avot ki bo ha-shemesh. As the sun sets, that's when he's going to need it, and that's when you should return, which is obviously referring to something that you need in the nighttime. Now, instead, the brisa does the opposite. The brisa is like this. Ad bo ha-shemesh tashiv ha-olo. Return it to him up until the time that the sun sets. Zuxut lilo, this refers to something which is needed at night. Only return it to him in the day. Which is nonsense. Hashem tashiva davar kivoy shemesh. As the sun sets, give him something. This refers to something that he needs in the daytime. So only give it to him in the nighttime. More nonsense. Amalei. So, Rava was listening to these prices, doing listening over to them, and he was gonna critique them. So he says to Rishuti, what are you saying? The Imam of Lila Alomali, the Lila of the Imam Alomali. Why would I need things that I can only use in the daytime and the nighttime, and why would I need things I can only use at night and the daytime? Or Marley, so Rishuti said to him, Atmaye, shall I then cross out, press delete on his right. I'm like, no, never press delete. Okay, come on. The thing that you want to do over here is to understand the bride like this. Ad bo ha-shemesh tishivenulo means sut yom, which is the thing that is taken as a mashkin b'layla. That's what I'm saying. Zuxut lila means this is the type of thing that you can keep for yourself during the night time. But since it's sut yom, you have to give it to him during the day. Which is Hashem Hashivlo Tavot Kivah Hashemesh means sut lila, which is the only thing that you're allowed to keep during the day. So when I say sut yom, it means your sut yom. In other words, the thing which you have a right to keep during the daytime, that's what you give him back during the night time. So that's when he needs it. There's all kinds of discussions about what the lead of the price is. In any event, it's been a great pleasure, gentlemen. Less than 1/2 hour. That's what I call efficiency. We should always have two dap yomis, right? You all come to the second one.